following is a presentation of 65 Toss Power Trap Productions.
Y'all know it's our destiny. Step it down right now for the Cowboys, hey, man. Hell yeah.
Welcome to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. Well, the Chiefs are one of the most improved teams in the National Football League since the opening week of the season. Offensively, Travis Kelce has been a tight end wide receiver combination, and he's finding the end zone with regularity. Nile Davis has emerged to be a two-headed monster with Jamaal Charles. Now DeAnthony Thomas is on the field, and the offensive line continues to improve week by week. Defensively, Dontari Poe dominated against the San Francisco 49ers, and guys like James Michael Johnson or Hussein Abdullah have stepped in and stepped up. But the bye week is always a chance for an organization to kind of check the oil and check all the belts and hoses. And we'll do exactly that with General Manager John Dorsey, who gives us the strategy, both short-term and long-term, to make this team and this organization a challenger to always win a championship. Now, we'll also take a look back in time at the remarkable 1993 season. Joe Montana, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play in the NFL, decided to become a Kansas City Chief, setting off unprecedented excitement in the Chiefs' kingdom. But first, let's check in with Chiefs reporter BJ Kissel, who will show you why, after analyzing the first 5 weeks of the season, you should be excited for the next 11.
Let's take a look at a couple of Chiefs players through the first 5 games of the season that have really impressed. We'll take a look at one from each side of the ball. Let's start with the defense. When 3-time Pro Bowler Eric Berry went down with an injury earlier this season, somebody in the defensive backfield needed to step up and take some of that production. That player has been Hussein Abdullah. Abdullah has stepped up by showing his versatility so far this season. He's played back as a deep safety, he's played inside the box much of what we saw from Eric Berry last year, and he's even gone out on the outside against slot receivers and played press man coverage. He's currently third on the team in tackles with 25. He's ProFootballFocus.com's number 10 ranked safety so far this season, and 50% of his snaps have been within 8 yards of the line of scrimmage. So he is showing his versatility. He's like a chess piece that can be moved around. You can do a lot of different things with him. He may have had the best game of his career on the Chiefs' biggest stage so far this season. That was the Monday Night Football game against the New England Patriots. Abdullah had 8 tackles. He also had the one big pick six interception off of Tom Brady, returned it for a touchdown, one of the biggest plays in that game. But with Berry missing time, a lot of focus was put on the backfield saying who is going to step up. Hussein Abdullah has been that guy for the Chiefs defense.
And they throw the football near side. Kelce's got a touchdown! Kansas City! And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
On the offensive side of the ball, there's no surprises here. The biggest breakout player through the first 5 games of the season has been second-year tight end Travis Kelce. He's currently leading the team in several offensive categories, including targets with 27, receptions with 20, yards at 274, and touchdowns with 3. 17 of his 20 receptions have gone for a first down, and 6 of his 20 receptions have gone for at least 20 yards. Kelce has shown the athletic ability to not only run away from defensive backs after he makes the catch, but also to break tackles in the backfield. He leads all NFL tight ends with 178 yards after catch, and when you include receivers, he's number 6 in the NFL. Kelce is the playmaker that this Chiefs offense has been looking for. He's taken what he was doing out at training camp, where he had a lot of buzz surrounding what he was doing out on the practice field, but that's translated over to the game field. It's a reason that he's one of the up-and-coming stars in the NFL. And finally, there are 2 statistical categories that really stand out as to what the Chiefs have been successful with through the first 5 games of the season. Now, they're both third down conversions. On the offensive side, the Chiefs have converted 50.7% of third down conversions, which ranks 4th in the NFL. And on the defensive side, they've only allowed 34.4% of third down conversions. Anytime you're successful on third down, you're going to be successful on that side of the ball. Now, if the Chiefs can continue this success on third down on both sides of the ball, they have a very good chance of getting that playoff push through the final 11 games of the season.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Chiefs. And by Truman Medical Centers, TMC and the Chiefs, partners for a healthy community. Coming up on Chiefs Insider.
The perseverance of the group, the leadership of the coaching staff, that's what I admire most. It's that adage that we talk about, next man up. They have fought game in and game out and will continue to fight game in and game out.
Welcome back to the show. The bye week for National Football League teams is almost a chance to do an internal audit of your roster and your organization. And there's no better person to talk to in doing that audit, so to speak, than General Manager John Dorsey.
They swing it to Thomas.
Inside the five, stretches out, touchdown!
Oakwood winds it up, a high punt.
Takes it up to nine, he's hit immediately!
Perfectly covered by the rookie Gaines. They'll hand it off here.
Dee Ford slides through and makes the hit of the game.
Whoa, man, that was great.
I don't know where John Dorsey is finding these players. And it's a credit to John Dorsey. He has allowed Andy Reid to get back to what he does best, coaching.
You spend all spring and summer planning, and then you go through and start the season. You've had to deal with a lot of injuries and challenges early, yet you guys have responded. What's been the key to kind of keeping things going?
You know, I think every season is completely different. We knew going into the season it was going to be tough, it was going to be challenging. I think the challenging part of this team is right now you're down seven or eight starters. But the perseverance of the group, the leadership of the coaching staff, that's what I admire most. You know, they've overcome a lot, but it's that adage that we talk about, next man up. And those guys, they have fought game in and game out, and we'll continue to fight game in and game out.
Well, then, as a follow-up, I mean, I think of the 2013 class of what's going on now. Nile Davis has emerged, so has Travis Kelce, the Magnificent Seven. The coaching staff being able to take guys as you bring to them and then coach them up, it's that kind of two-way street here. How comforting is that to you?
It's comforting that we're moving in a proper direction. It's a comfort knowing that you're deeper than you were last year. Whenever you have a coaching staff, which we have assembled here, you know you're going to get quality coaching and teaching. That's all you can ask for. To me, the intestinal fortitude that this bunch has speaks volumes of where we're headed.
Well, you played in this game a long time. The toughness that I'm seeing, the resiliency that you're alluding to, how do you evaluate that? When you go out and look at a college guy or a free agent, how can you find that and see that?
It comes down to a case-by-case basis. After the season, you get a chance to meet these guys. You see what their makeup is, their fiber is. You know, we always talk about, is the game of football important? Do they really like football? And we've got a lot of guys on this team that love football. You find that out when you sit and evaluate and meet people for the first time.
The bye week is always a time to kind of, if lack of a better term, do an audit. But the big picture, how much big picture do you take in the next several days to look at?
Well, I think it's the evaluation process is an ongoing process. Now, this gives you a chance to step back, see where you're actually weak and strong at, see where you can begin to build for the future. As we all know, in football, there is turnover every year. So now what we've always said is, our guys that are playing well, let's see if we can extend these guys. You know, you work on those types of things as well as assessing the strengths and weaknesses of your team.
And overall, in looking at all three phases of this team, including the special teams, do you continue to evaluate over the next 11 weeks?
You always evaluate. You evaluate 12 months out of the year. That's the only way you're going to be any good. That's the only way you're going to live up to that saying, being consistently competitive in the AFC West year in and year out, because you have to build that roster from the bottom up and get some star players to begin to make football plays. I think that's very important to achieving and staying true to your words when you first got here.
In the world of sports entertainment, most fans would say Bob Johnson changed the game with war paint. But few realize the true extent of how war paint changed the name of Bob Johnson.
I was running for the legislature, and there was two other Johnsons in there, and one of them was Bob Johnson. And so I thought, man, this isn't going to work out. And so I went to the Independence Courthouse. I changed my middle name to War Paint.
Well, he did. He did run his war paint, and I think when he was campaigning that he brought the horse around to grocery stores, shopping centers, and I think that gave him a lot of exposure. It's something that, you know, no other candidate was ever able to do around this area.
Everybody says that I should write a book, and the horse won. I didn't win it. The horse won it because he was really popular.
When we return on Chiefs Insider.
The arrival of a rock star. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen.
I think collectively the city just kind of, we all blew a gasket. It was like a celebrity in our midst.
Welcome back to Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider. In the offseason of 1993, the Kansas City Chiefs made a very bold move. The San Francisco 49ers had decided to move on with younger quarterback Steve Young. And the Chiefs made a trade for one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play in the National Football League, Joe Montana. Suddenly, the rough decade of the 80s was a distant memory. And now the possibilities were seemingly endless. Joe Montana was a Kansas City Chief. Our award-winning Chiefs Kingdom series does a two-part look at that incredible 1993 season when the Hall of Fame quarterback came here to wear number 19. Now make sure you check your local listings to see when the Chiefs Kingdom program airs because you won't want to miss any part of it. In fact, you'll want to record it. But let's take a sneak peek at the time that changed everything in KC.
It's true that quarterbacks are not quite as important as they were a couple generations ago because they don't call their own plays, but they're still extraordinarily influential in the tone they bring, the attitude they bring to the huddle.
It's 14-10 San Diego, but Kansas City has the ball.
And now, Dick, because they have no timeouts left, this is a two-minute hurry-up offense.
When you were in those situations with Joe, you did not question the quarterback. This guy has seen it and done it, and he's seen it all.
Back to pass, Montana cocks his arm, throws a pass. It's caught. It's caught for a first.
He wasn't a big rah-rah guy.
With 3:07 to go and on fourth down, Kansas City must go for it.
There wasn't any pressure. There wasn't any panic. When Joe came in the huddle, all that stopped.
Back to pass, Montana. Here comes the blitz. Joe moves up, cocks his arm, throws a pass. It's caught. It's caught for a first down.
What Joe Montana possessed in spades was that sense of utter, almost eerie calm in the face of pressure.
Montana the snap, the spin, handoff, Marcus right side, dives in, touchdown, Kansas City.
This was a guy that his heart rate just never changed.
He had this ability to win. He had this ability to bring his teams back.
Joe Montana drive. I don't care what they're paying Montana, he is worth every last penny.
And Kansas City will go back to Missouri with a 5-1 record and the lead in the AFC West.
These are games in the past this team may not have won. And what does this win mean down the road?
This was the roller coaster ride. This was the jolt. We hadn't seen anything like that since Lenny. I mean, you never figured you were out of a game.
As sports towns go, there are few better. Here, they know football. They saw its beginnings. They saw it come alive and grow. They saw it shine on the biggest stage. But for many years, after the glow of Super Bowl glory had faded, they saw it falter. Their team needed a spark.
The changes that happened with the Chiefs in 93 really began in the playoff game against San Diego at the end of the 92 season when they got shut out.
We had just, I think, been in our third consecutive playoffs, but there was an obvious missing point here. I had an edict, a rule with Marty. I said, look, we're both going to get away for 1 week. We're too emotional, and then I want to sit down with you and let's rationally decide what we need to accomplish.
I think Marty had come to the realization that to advance further in the playoffs, you couldn't be the Marty ball pounded out offense, you had to get yardage in chunks.
Marty had said, we've got to be able to pass to win. We've got to open things up.
Some franchises need a quarterback, and some have too many. In the spring of 1993, the San Francisco 49ers were faced with that problem and were contemplating the unseemly prospect of choosing one Hall of Famer over another.
I knew that the 49ers were going to have to make a decision.
We would like Joe to stay. We'd like him to be part of the organization.
Obviously, they could not keep both Joe Montana and Steve Young. So I made a call to Carmen Policy, the president of the 49ers, and said, Carmen, do you have any interest in moving either Joe or Steve? And, of course, there was a long silence, and came back. He said, well, I don't think we can move Steve, but if you want Joe, it's going to cost you an awful lot.
We're talking about Joe Montana.
Joe Montana.
Quarterback Joe Montana.
The Chiefs are back in the running in the Montana Derby.
From here, I'm going to Kansas City. Things
are a little more serious now than they were about 10 days ago.
So it's down to Phoenix and Kansas City, period.
Is he going to be here in a Chiefs uniform or not, Kevin?
Ask your neighbor.
When it became evident that they were zeroing in on Joe and a trade was going to be made, I think people were kind of breathless. I just think they were going to Joe Montana.
I was on vacation, and I remember getting the newspaper and seeing this article saying that Joe Montana may be joining the Chiefs, and I was like, no way.
We are very, very pleased to officially announce that Joe Montana, his lovely wife Jennifer, and all of their family are officially Kansas City Chiefs.
It was huge. The arrival of a rock star. It was unlike anything I'd ever seen.
I think collectively the city just kind of, we all blew a gasket. It was like a celebrity in our midst, and people were talking about Montana sightings.
I'll never forget after trading for Joe and we got him here in the off season. Defense would practice in the early morning and the offense in the later morning. Joe's first practice with us, the entire defense did not leave the field. They wanted to see Joe Montana live.
I had to get used to it because the very first huddle, I was in the huddle with Joe. I was sitting there staring at him like a little kid, like, that's Joe Montana, you know.
It was just amazing the buzz that was going around the town even then. Joe Montana was over at a place in Westport that was empty. I think it was a Tuesday night. And by the time we left, the place was packed as if it was a Friday night in Westport.
Kansas Cityans, we always feel marginalized. We always feel like the bigger cities get more attention. Here was this good team. Where was our Sports Illustrated cover? Where was the NBC sports crew to talk to us about our team? Well, suddenly, all of that came at once.
San Francisco still will have the Golden Gate Bridge, cable cars, Fisherman's Wharf, North Beach, and the best marriage of city, sea, and sky in America. But it will no longer have Joe Montana.
Thanks for joining us on this bi-week edition of the show. Next week, things open up full throttle as the Chiefs go on the road for a key divisional game against the surging San Diego Chargers. Keep in mind, the Chiefs were this close to knocking San Diego out of the playoffs with the backups last year in the last week of the season. Now, what can Kansas City do to try to get to 3-3 and make a statement moving into the next two-thirds of the season? We'll get you ready right here for the Chiefs and Chargers on Hy-Vee Chiefs Insider.
Chiefs Insider is brought to you by Hy-Vee, where there's a helpful smile in every aisle. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Chiefs. And by Truman Medical Centers, TMC and the Chiefs. Partners for a healthy community.